perfect in the law. God. Amen. How many believe that he's changing you? So today you should be a little bit better than yesterday, right? Because changes is every day. I told you last time, that's the only thing that is stable, changes. So I guess it's not done with me because I'm still changing. For how long, I don't know. I hope to his coming. Because I already want a changeover body. So if you ask me what I want for Christmas, can I have a changeover body, please? You cannot hurry that. When God gets done, it will be done. Thank you. Amen. So we're going to continue what we started last week. His bouquet bride. And this is part two. We're going to look at his secret design and his hidden purpose. Why, you know, we can learn from flowers arrangements. This little secret. Really, I'm not in the secret. Ephesians 3:9 says, it says, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. So I'm not too going to key too much in the mystery. I want to know what the fellowship is, because that's what it says. It's the fellowship of the mystery. From the beginning of the world, that he had been hid in God. So it has not been disclosed until these days, have been opened. Who created all things in Jesus Christ to the intent or purpose that now unto the principalities of powers and heavenly places might be known. So Satan, we warn you. We point you notice because God is going to show you his multifold wisdom of God in the bride. See? In the bride form. Not only is going to be on Jesus Christ, now is a body. See? So he's on notice, yeah? He thought he got done with Jesus Christ, I'm done. Woo! Now I got rid of that guy. Wow! But now we have millions and millions. He didn't foresee that. If he wouldn't foresee that, he wouldn't done what he done. He wouldn't crucified. You and I will be lost forever. But see, he don't even know what's going on. According to the eternal purpose, God had a purpose. God has a purpose for everything. Good, bad, and evil, ugly. Whatever you go through, circumstances, whatever you go through, God has a purpose. God don't let things come to you just because you don't have nothing else to do. Oh, let me bother brother here. You know, I don't think he's. I haven't bothered him for a week. Let me get him something so he can stay. You know, on top of the game. No, God don't do that. Everything that comes to you, good, bad, evil, it has a purpose. And we got to find what that purpose is and pray and wait for that purpose. Amen. According to his eternal purpose, which he proposed in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we love you and we thank you. We sure appreciate these moments, Father. I sure love your family. Because this family is a gift to us, Father, to each other. So I love the gift that you have given us, Father, one another. I mean, this is a gift that had no return. I don't want to return this gift. I want it forever, eternally. That we can be together, Father, as a body. And you have done that for us, Father. We thank you. And we thank you for our brother Doug is coming. A pastor, Father, that you can continue. We continue praying that he can come home. And he probably now, he can rest. And you can give him strength and so we can hear from him and the victories that they were won out there in Africa, Father, on Sunday. Father, we ask you to take over tonight, Father. I yield my body, I yield my voice, I yield whatever I have left, Father. It's all yours. Take it and use it so your people will be blessed, so your people will be, Father, one more time, Father, that they be in love, closer walk to you, Father. In Jesus' name, we ask you these things. Amen and amen. You can be seated. So quickly, let me review. Even though all of you were here, but I read from God Himself in simplicity. I know today we are trying to educate people. I'm just going to quickly read to the scientific approach to God. There's no way to approach God in that way, and you cannot do that. God is known not by science, but by faith we know God. Did I give you the? Oh no, you got the wrong ones. Is what happened. That's fine. And now today we are trying to educate people to that, to the scientific approach to God, and you cannot do that. He said, God is known by not by science, but by faith we know him. And I say this, that man can sit down and look at a bunch of flowers, and that's what key me on this. You can look at a bunch of flowers, Brother Brown says, a bouquet, and study that for 30 minutes. I'm going to need more than 30 minutes to study that. I always wanted to read the Bible from it. You know that I haven't read the Bible from men to, at least, you know, I purpose myself every year. I don't know how many you guys have done it. You've probably been successful. I get caught up. I start reading the first verse, second, and then my mind starts going, and I start going here, and I start going there. Whoa, I never seen that. And by the time my day is gone, and I haven't even read but two verses or chapters. So it is hard for me, I guess, unless I decide that I'm just going to read, and whatever jumps at me, you know, I cannot neglect it, though. That's my problem. Anyway, it says, today we are trying to, and I said that man cannot sit down, a man can sit down and look at a bunch of flowers and bouquet and study that for 30 minutes sincerely with all his heart and know more about God than I did, that he did, if he knows. Had all the degrees the Bible school could give him. For God revealed himself in flowers. We see it dies and rise again, resurrection. We see the colors, the species of the flower. Where did the coloring came from? Explain to me. How did it get there? Where does it go? How does it get back again? You know, and does the seed have to die and rot and come back again? God showing himself in simplicity, the hiding himself again in death to show himself again in resurrection. 85. You don't have to know a whole lot. You know, the only thing that you have to know is have faith in what you are looking, and what you are believing. See, God's in creation. All you need to know what you're looking at. I mean, His print is all over the place. He created the trees, the mountains. So God is in creation. Even some people worship creation because they believe that God is in the creation, but instead of worshiping the Creator, they want to worship the creation. See, believe. Now he says, 1 hour would really prove it, would teach you more about God than all the degrees that you can have. And that's what I propose to do. Look at something, have some understanding of God by looking at flowers, at the bouquet of flowers. See, now, the first three chapters of Revelation deal with the church, the Gentile Jewish, Ethiopians, African, every type of people in the world goes to the Gentile to make up the body, black and white, brown, everything. It is a bouquet of flowers. See, he compared, you know, the body as a bouquet of flowers. And that's right. That's good that God puts in his altar. And that's made up of all nations, kindred, tongues, and people. Amen? We read you that. The Gentiles is individuals, people taken from the Gentiles, and the Gentile had to made up all the people of the world. So now, and there is a Jew coming to that also, see? Just like Arabians and Irish and Indians and what more. All the people of the world make up this bouquet bride. Amen. So I was interested, why did, you know, Brother Branham make mention of that? I mean, but it is not Brother Branham, it's God has done this. Because when you look at even Peter, we're going to look at Peter in a minute or two, but we're talking that the Gentile as individuals, are people that God has taken from the world, see, to make this bride. And this is what makes the bouquet bride. Now, we talked about quickly about few things, few principles, because I want you to understand this, and the only way I can do that is by showing you how a bouquet design works and how it's made up. So, as we understand that, we understand how God also, you know, designed her. So, this is five principles. Understanding this principle, you know, we can also create a beautiful arrangements, you know, and we discussed that to create these arrangements, the first thing you needed to know is harmony. Well, that's not only on flowers, that's also in the church. There got to be harmony. And harmony is in the trees and in the plant, in the whole, you know, God's creation is in harmony. Why cannot we be in harmony? We are made by the same God. So we should be in harmony. Okay? And harmony don't mean that you know, we are going to do the same thing the same way. Harmony just means that we are going to complement each other. We are going to blend with each other. See, we're not going to help each other. See, we're going to be nice to each other. We're going to be sweet to each other, right? Because flowers are all that stuff, you know? So, and that's God. God's way. That is God. God is harmony. And he's the one that introduces these things, these attributes, you know? So, also, harmony is tied up to unity. Because you cannot have harmony and not have unity. Can you imagine the same? You got harmony and they're always fighting, fist fighting and kicking and yelling. That's not never seen that kind of harmony. That must be not harmony. Anyway, so it has to be unity. And the reason it has to be unity is because God is one. And God designed man to be one. And God decides, all of us designed us to be one. So how can we come to church? How can we say we have God and we don't want to have nothing to do with each other? When the same God that is in us wants to be one. And if we want to fulfill his desire, we want to be one with each other as God wants to be one with us. He made us that way. I'm glad he made us that way. Because like that, we cannot take credit for anything. If you have a desire to come to church and be with the body, it's because God put that in your heart. If you have a desire to come to church this morning, God drive you to church, you know, to the Holy Spirit, it's because God, you know, wanted that. Not you. God wants you here because God loves you. And he wants to be one. Can you imagine God saving the entire world and nobody wants to get together? I mean, that would just no purpose. You know, but God don't do things like that. Men will do things like that. So, unity, you know, in harmony. Complementing each other, helping each other, praying for each other. That's what it's all about. You know, coming together and wanting to be together. Yeah. It has to be that desire. If not, we just come to church and that's all. And then we go home. And that's the end of church. That's not the end. When you live here, it's not the end. You still, whatever you are, you still, you know, want to be part. Brother Man said, one of these days, people are going to be crying and sighing because they don't want to leave the church. They're going to cry because they had to separate. I guess we're not here yet because I don't see nobody crying. I see people running out, but I don't see nobody want to stay. He says so it's going to have to happen. But you have to choose to do that. He's not going to make you. He's going to choose. We got to choose that we're going to fulfill the word of God. You don't have to make it. You don't have to manufacture it. He has put that desire in our hearts. All we have to do is just follow the desire. Follow what we believe. Follow what we see. So we have to let him lead. So we do. When we start to get in control. So we talked about harmony and that God wants us to be one. And that's the way God designed us to be one. So we got harmony. Then we talked about purpose. And we know that the purpose of God, it's simple. God created you and I, you know, with something in mind. And I already told you that we have a purpose. He has a purpose. And that purpose is eternal, Paul says. Even before the foundation of the world. See, he predestined us. See, so we can fulfill his purpose. Not yours. See, get out of the way. Stay out of the way. Because the more you get in the way, the more you're just holding the progress, you know? This is not about you. This is all about him. Amen. About him in you. ¿Sí? And he wants to finish that purpose. He started the work and he wants to finish the work. The only thing that holds him back is what? Moi, you know? So don't get ahead of God and don't get behind. Just stay with God, you know? And open your eyes, like that brother man says, and see and what you believe. And see what God is doing. God, sometimes I feel certain things. We don't go by feelings, but sometimes the first thing I say, God, if this is you, make it clear to me. Because how can I go on, you know, when I not know what I'm doing, or clear to me? If this is you that inspired this, if this is you that made me feel this way, tell me what you want me to do. Because I cannot figure it out. So the next thing it is, if it's not you, then take it away. I don't want nothing to do with it. That's all it is. I don't have to sit down and try to figure out what God is trying to do with me. Just sit and wait. Because either way, it's going to show himself good, truth, or not truth. We don't need to help God. God don't need no help. See? So the purpose he intended, you know, to bring this bride, according to what we read, to bring this bride together to heavenly places so we can empty Satan and all the spirit that's squatting there. You know, this is, you are going to do it. You know, that is a purpose. You know, or the bride, that's your rightful place. Yes. Yes. And that's the purpose. You get and go back over there, period. And he's coming down and we're going up, period. But we maintain our eyes on him and follow his plan and follow his directions. See? That's going to take some dying out sometimes. That's what we call it. We have to die out to ourselves. But that's his purpose. He's going to show the world. He's going to show Satan what he meant when he said, you know, a bride. You know, all this year, he's going to put her in display when that day. He said, this is what I was talking about. Oh, that's the fellowship that I had, the mystery of that fellowship way out there. And here it is. And he's going to display it for 30, 40 days, you know. Amen. I want to get out of here. I don't want to get any older. You know, I'm getting older. You guys are still young. You still have some life left on you guys. But I tell you what, may God grant you long life. I mean, why not? He gave me long life, so why? I want the same thing for you, but I want you to a life that of Christ, leading you and guiding you. Amen. So, purpose, and then we talked about variety. You know that in the body of Christ is also we have contrast, because God is a God of variety. So, if you're black or white or brown or yellow or blue, you know. It doesn't matter. God made you that way. God is a God of variety. He made high mountains, low mountains, skinny people, fat people, I mean short people, ugly people, good looking people. You know, so what? It is God. You know, God is a God of variety. You know, and variety is what adds, you know, to life, the essence of life. You know, can you imagine if we all look the same and we talk the same? I'd be bored, you know, if we all look like me, because I'm boring. I don't like myself. So can you imagine having a bunch of you guys around? No. I'm glad that God has variety. And not only in looks, not only in color, but what about in food, you know? Okay, some of you guys don't like, you know, pozole, or you don't like menudo, that slimy little thing that you are showing there. It's good. Yeah, you're making faces already, I know. He made me this way. He made those people this way. Just because you don't like it, it doesn't matter. You know, whatever you think about anything, it doesn't matter. You know? You know, I love menudo. It's the breakfast of champions. You want to be a champion in menudo? It put hair in your chest. You know, even that, I came from different culture, brother. Chicago. Some of you, we came from different places, different social cultural themes, and we are different foods, the different ways. See? But God is a God of variety, because all the flowers don't look alike and they don't come from the same place. See? So what we need to learn is, you don't like menudo, don't eat it. But don't despise it. Because you're going to offend somebody. And then it's really not nothing to do with anything. It's just your preferences. That's what gets us in trouble, preferences. Well, I don't like that song that he's singing. I like a little faster, or he's dragging that one. But then, I better say nothing. Just sit down and wait. You should be able to enjoy. Listen, if that's what church is all about, might as well stay home, because if I cannot enjoy a service, I cannot enjoy God, I cannot enjoy each other, why come? I'm not talking about you guys. I really enjoy you guys. Variety, but it's variety and everything. Brother Brown says, I like cherry pie or whatever, pineapple, and somebody likes cherries. Well, we're going to break fellowship because I don't like your pie and you don't like menudo or whatever. We go to the restaurant, they got all the things to eat. I eat menudo and you eat, and don't make faces at me, you know. Just eat what you're going to eat and I won't make faces at you. You see what Paul said, let's not offend, you know, others. And you think it's funny, but it happens, you know. Now, if you go to a house and people give you menudo and you don't need it, but just politely, you know. You know, I never have those things, and I don't know if I like it. So, but you know, we don't offend people just because we have differences in culture and things like that. You know, so variety. That was God. God made that. It wasn't me. It wasn't you. That's how God created us, different. And I'm glad He created us different, because we can have fun because we are all different. If we were all the same, we would do all the same thing until we get bored, you know. But I'm glad that the bouquet of flowers is not boring. Amen. Some of you sisters like to go to those. Well, our brother too that worked with flower mirror. You know, you go out there and you love. You probably have to stay there. If your husband don't drag you out, you don't even want to come out of the store looking at all the pretty flowers and the smell, you know. You enjoy it, right? Well, when you come to church, don't you enjoy all these beautiful flowers? I mean, because He compared us as flowers. Amen. So, and then we got to almost to the beginning of balance, and then we stopped right there. But there's a lot of contrast in flowers arrangements, you know. If it was the same flower all the time, it would be kind of monotonous, you know, to have the same thing. Can you imagine coming to a service and doing the same thing the same way all the time? Nothing wrong with that, but I'm saying, you know. Brother Van says, as soon as they make a hymn book, you know, it starts getting away from. Why? It's something as simple as a hymn book. Why? Because now we all sing in the same way, the same song, with the same tone, with everything. See? I like to go up and down all my time. I don't know if sister out there, Mona, gets tired of me, but I like sometimes soprano, then I go down to a second melody, sometimes I go to the middle. I mean, I'm up and down the whole scale. I ain't got no book telling me what to stay and what to do and how to do it, like Baptist. I like, you know, my son-in-law, Kenny, he wrote something about the mountain. What was the name of it? Yeah. We don't have to go through patterns and the bureaucracy. Can we add this to the book? No, why? He wrote it, the inspiration of God. We put it there. Anybody voted to accept it? No, that's not supposed to be. Now go to the Baptist with a book. You probably have to climb all the way to the White House, to the Supreme Court, just to get a son put in that book. Because if they don't like it, they're not going to put it to begin with. We don't do that. You have an inspiration, it's God. We should be able to share it, right? See, that's what the denomination, like flowers, you know, Brother Brown, talking about serious robots, harmony. You know? It has to be this way, and no way. Well, no wonder everybody, amen, the same way. Oh, I mean, sorry, I used to be Baptist, but I wasn't boring. I was the one that added the spice to all those boring people, anyway. Yeah, because I'm not boring. I like to enjoy my salvation. Don't you like to enjoy your salvation? And that's what you hear, right? If I see your long faces, I'm going to call you out. So start smiling. Keep smiling. See, contrast. So flowers arrangements, you know, use a lot of contrast in shape and texture and the design. You know, it's not boring. People like it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they become more interesting, you know, with different things that people do with flowers, you know. Try to make it more interesting all the time. Amen. So let me, before I continue, let me tell you that I want to show you that this is not a man idea. This is God's idea. Let's go to Peter. Oh, you got that one? That's the one you got, huh? Okay, let me see. First Peter, sorry, 1:20 says, "For all flesh is grass." Wow. He must be an apologist. Grass. "And all glory of man is like flowers of grass. The grass wither and the flower therefore falls away." So today, here today and gone tomorrow. That's what he's trying to say. But why did he say that? Why he had to add the flowers and the grass, you know? Why he trying to illustrate a point, you know? Life, you know, as we know, is, you know, sometimes you hear and then you go next day. Just like a flower. He's trying to teach us a principle, illustrate something. So, and then when we go to Son of Solomon, he says, "I am the rose of Sharon. I am the lily." This is talking about Christ. So God was the first one that said, "That's my lily, and she's my rose." Okay? He says, "The lily of the valley." You know, the rose, and he says in 2:2, "As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters." So, God is trying to describe, you know, the affair, the connection that is between God and the bride by using just flowers. You know, a rose is the queen of the flowers. And she's the queen of him. And actually, this rose, I was researching a little bit, is white with a little bit of a violet color on it. And that speaks, it has a symbolism, you know. White speaks about, you know, pure, you know, holy, you know. And the lily also, the lily is white. I don't know if you noticed, but these two are white. The rose is not red. It's a white rose and a white lily. And lilies, you know, symbolize white and purity and holiness and pleasant. You know, and that's what Jesus Christ was. And the bride is the same thing. The bride is from his side, you know, and just like came out of Adam. And she is also, you know, the Bible said, without sin, without wrinkles, with a spot, you know, holy. Because he's not going to marry something less than that. But he compared himself. God compared the bridegroom, compared Jesus Christ as a lily of the valley. But he compared his queen as a rose. You see? So, and do you know that a lily has 6 leaf flower? It speaks about what? Man. You know, but this is what he said, as the lily among thorns, because he's talking, you know, that we are here in this world among evil, and she's going to be here until, you know, but it's my love among the daughters. So it shows that it doesn't matter, you know, where we are, you know, he knows where we are, and he took us out of that. And find us, you know, and he gave us salvation, and he cleaned us up, and he gave us the Holy Ghost. So we can be with him because we are his rose, and he was his rose. Amen. So even the Bible, God explains, you know, use these types. So I stopped right here, I think I was, yes, and stopped in... We talked about harmony, we talked about variety and contrast, and we talked about purpose. I got a couple of more. Balance is the next principle that people use to, and we started that one, but I barely got into it. But balance. So, balance in a flower arrangement, it could be tilted, leaning to one side too much, or to the other side too much, because of weight, or because of the way they set it up. See, so it don't look completely in balance. So, the arrangement is set, it can fall over. So, and it's the same thing with you and me. This principle tried to tell me that we need to keep our balance. See? Not right, don't go right, and don't go left. Because Brother Brown said, even if you lean, just a little tiny lean, that's enough to disqualify you, like the first of our age reformer. You know, he shows between two, and one was leaning too much to denomination. See? People come through here to these doors, and they don't know anything about you. And one of the things they want to know, you know, do you lean in somewhere? Are you this? What are you called? No, we're not leaning. We just believe the Bible and believe the Word, and that's all it is to it. That's the only thing we have. We don't have no agendas, and we're not leaning to this or to be too formal. We're not leaning to be too fanatic. We're just trying to stay in balance, in the middle. And we talked about balance, that in balance also, there's safety and security. Because when things are balanced and stable, then you're nothing to fear, nothing to worry about. You know, you don't fear that it's going to fall, you know. So you can rest because it has a stability, you know. And that is what an arrangement supposed to be, and a bride that is a bouquet supposed to come to church and rest and have peace and has a stability and security, you know. We come to church and we have to trust God, whatever he's doing with the pastor, whatever he's doing with the ministers, you know, to rest that God is doing the right. If we yield our God, the Holy Spirit is the one that's doing all this. So we can rest assured that God is the one leading and guiding and giving us what we have need. It's not man. I cannot figure this out if I wanted to. See? Stability, you know, the Bible said in James, a man that is unstable, it's not secure. Unstable in what? Two thoughts. And I told you about those two thoughts not too long ago. I told you that's why people get unstable. It's when you start to decide in two thoughts. Satan give you one and God give you another one. So which one are you going to choose? Well, if we start dwelling too much in that one, then we start kind of being unstable. You know, and I told you, I'm not unstable. I know where I'm going. I know what I want. And I know how to get that. And that's all I need to know. Do I understand everything? No, but that's what I want. So I'm not stable. I'm not stable at church. I'm very stable, unless I'm sick or say I'm out of town on vacation. But I'm well balanced. I'm resting, you know, in the Word of God. Not left, not right. So I don't know why some people, when people, sometimes they do and they don't, is because they're dwelling in two thoughts. Well, I'm tired today, or I work too hard, and tomorrow is school and the kids. Okay, see, now you've been unstable. Now you're going to feel like something is pulling you to one side, when nothing should be pulling you but the Holy Spirit. If something that is pulling you, you're not stable. See? So, and balance is that. Balance is supposed to keep you stable. Now, let's read what the Bible says in Isaiah 35:8, because the stableness is in the middle. Balance is always in the middle, right? So Isaiah 35:8-10 says, And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of what? That's the way we want to go. If this thing don't produce holiness, you don't want to go that way. You don't want to lean that way. You only want to lean to the way. You want to go to the way that is only provided for you for holiness. This way will create holiness in you. This way will wash you, your sins away. This way make you just to be, I mean, you don't have to be afraid of God, you know. Because he said the unclean shall not pass over it. No wicked things. No unclean thought. Somebody was, Brother Andy was talking about, you know, the heart and also about not giving, you know, his heart to God. And and it was introduced to many unclean things. See, but in this way, there's no unclean thing. Brother Branham said one. He said one of these days, sin will not come to those doors. Uncleanliness will not walk this walk. God will not allow it. God will not allow it. But I shall be those. It shall be for those wayfaring men, that fools shall not err therein. No lion shall be there. Well, there goes Satan, going as a roaring lion. Praise the Lord. Stay in the middle. He cannot walk the middle. Stay in the middle. He cannot walk the middle. That's balance to me. See, the only reason he gets us is because we get out of balance and we start getting out. We are in Christ. Stay in Christ. Stay balanced. As soon as you get out, he throw dart to see if you're still there. You know, don't respond to that. It makes you unstable. It says, no lion be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go upon thereon, and shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. God has made a way for you. It's called the way of holiness. And the ransom of the Lord shall return, you know, and come to Zion, that's the bright mountain, with songs and everlasting joy. Well, with songs. So if you don't like to sing here, I don't know what's going to happen. And everlasting joy, see, upon their heads. You don't have to wait to get there. The other day we were singing a song, I think it was last week, Sunday. And it says, we are going to have fun when we get there. We are going to dance when we get there. We are going to dance when we get there. We are going to be happy. Hey, you can start right here. Are you waiting just to get there to be happy? So in the meantime, you're happy or what? You know, we start right here when you come to church. I'm not waiting there to get happy. I'm happy right now. You know, I'm so happy that the Lord visited us on last Wednesday. You know? It says, and the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy in their heads. You know, and that's why we come to church with everlasting joy, with a song in our hearts, in our mouth. See? They shall obtain joy and gladness. So you wonder why some people don't obtain joy and gladness? Because they are not mentally, you know, the attitude is not that one. See? And sorrows and singing shall flee away. Amen. So, Brother Brown says here, Isaiah said, there is be a highway and a way. It is a conjunction and a way. It won't be called the highway of holiness. He said it will be called the way of holiness. Right. In that middle of the road, on this side, the other side. And then Brother Branham continues saying, friend, I've always tried to keep balance of the road. And that's a good advice for you. I mean, stay on the middle of the road. Don't lean to the left. Don't lean to the right. The angel told Joshua, do not go left or do not go right. Stay where? So don't get too formal with me and don't get too fanatic with me. You know? Stay in the way because that is where the word of God is vindicated. Let me tell you, you stay in the middle, God will vindicate his word because that's where the truth is at. That's where the sound gospel is, in the middle. If you start listening to all these things that we have in this message, all these things that we have, dogmas and doctrines, you know, it takes you out of balance completely. Because they cannot even prove it, but stay in the middle. Stay in the middle. He says, keep a balance of the road. You get way off of formalism. See? Okay, we have to do it this way. Or we have to do it that way, you know. We cannot take communion that way. We have to do this with the bread. You know, stay in the middle. Stay with your pastor. Stay in the middle. Because people are going to come to challenge because that's what they learn. God has to do something. Not you. God has to change their mind too, to the word that is preached. Just as a formal and ritualistic they can be. People grab for that a lot. Then if you don't watch, you will get plumb up over in the other side and be just as fanatic as you can be. You know, fanatic means feelings, always feeling. You know, that's what Pentecostal, they were also feeling. You know, but there's a middle of the road where the true, sound, sane gospel is preached. I'm glad that this church has a sound and a good and the sane gospel that we are preaching. Because I'm still in the middle. I'm stable. I don't feel afraid. I don't feel fear. I feel free. I don't feel like I'm talking down. I don't feel like I'm poor. I don't feel like somebody's trying to sell me some agenda. No, I don't feel like, you know, when I come to the door, I don't know what I'm going to get next here. No, I sit down and I'm at rest. Why? Because I'm stable. Stay in the middle of the road. When people start having problems with themselves, you know, they tore up about something, it's because they're not stable, because they're trying to decide between two things. One is God and one is something else. I see a lot of people, sometimes not a lot of people, some people that got burdens. But where do burdens come from? Well, stop thinking. And you, if you have a problem, you know, have enough confidence and go to the pastor. You come into this church, right? But you have some thoughts about this pastor that is here, right? Or you just demand that he had to entertain you on Sundays only. You know, if you have a burden and you don't know what to do and what to decide, go and talk to your pastor. Right. He's a man of God. He will help you. Right. And if he cannot help you, he will pray for you, but we get an answer. Right. But as long as you don't want it, proudness, do that. You don't want to tell anybody what you're going through. And now, you know, you don't want to be at church because that's not fun, it's boring, or whatever it is. Go and talk to your pastor. That's what I tell everybody, because your pastor is here to show you the right way, the balance that you're supposed to go. But, after saying all that, if you don't have no confidence, then find a place that you can have confidence. Because this is all what it is all about, walking the way that God has made. And I believe that this pulpit do that, because I'm not afraid. I'm at rest. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs. Oh, I'm sorry. Friends say, but there is a middle of the road where the true sound same gospel is preached. And God moves there. You want to see God move? Then walk the way that he has provided for us. He moved last Wednesday. And sister is not here, Sister Jennifer, but she sees the pillar of fire. You know that he visited us that day. She saw the pillar of fire hovering around the pulpit. I mean, we know his presence is here because he promised that two or three are together, I will be here. But he decided to do a little bit something. I've never seen it, but there are some people that had that gift that can see that God opened their eyes. And I'm glad, because we had a visitation. So that means everything must be right in the middle that day. I'm not saying that the other days are not. I'm saying I'm just only account for myself. You know, I want to stay in the middle. And if God don't say it, I shut my mouth. If God said it, then I say it. So it says, vindicating, and I'm not saying that I'm special now. Don't go and say that Eli said that he was special because they this and that. No, it had nothing to do with me. In fact, I'm so glad that he visited us. I don't care who mindset was or how many people got together and was the right atmosphere. It doesn't matter. As long as he come, I don't care who was the one that drew him to come. I'm not going to take credit for it. But I'm glad. I'm just glad that we had a visitation. But remember what Brother Brown says. It will not be a show. But he do those little things to show you, you know, where you are and where he's at. So just continue. Continue the journey. Continue walking in the middle of the road. Continue walking his way. This is Bible. He said, vindicating the truth. That's where he vindicated the truth. So if you're trying to ask God a question, you ask, oh, you said you ask, to knock, to seek. But you have, I mean, I've been doing it for 3 years and you haven't answered me. But maybe you're not in the middle. Because he promised he will do that. And he will vindicate his word. He is not a liar. So if he's not talking to you, if he's not giving you an answer, it must be something else. And it's not God. So figure out what the something else is. Let's get right with God. Let's do what he pleases him, what he desires. And he will give us the delight of our hearts, the desire of our hearts. And that's all I want, his desire. Straight gate, he says, the gospel preach and God move and vindicate the truth. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, but few shall find it. All right? So we walk in the narrow way. I'm glad it's a narrow way because there's not too much room for left or right. If you go too much to the right, you're going to trip in that fence and you're going to fall. See, the wide one, you can hardly find the parameters, you know, the limits, the fence. So that's why people go way out here and they say, well, it doesn't matter. You need to follow God. It doesn't matter what I believe. It doesn't matter what I do. It's what I believe, you know, and they're still doing things, you know. Well, because the limits are this way out there. You don't see them. But I'm glad we are walking the narrow way. There's no way you don't know where the middle is at unless you get out of it. But if you walk in the narrow way, you know, from here to that door, there's not too much room for me to go left or right. And I'm glad God is keeping me in the middle. And God is guiding me. And God, he put a fence to keep me in the way. I want him to do that. I want to stay in the way. I want to stay in the middle. I don't care if he has to fence me, you know. I want him to fence me. So I will never depart from him or get away from him. I want to be where he's at. So balance, we're still talking about balance, the balance of the road. And in floral arrangements, there's two balance, symmetric and unsymmetric, you know. Symmetrical is formal, and asymmetrical is not formal. So, again, you know, Brother Brown says, everything God has done, the devil made substitute for it. Now listen, everything that God has done, the devil will make a substitute. That is where the instability. Because we only want to hear one voice. And if you don't go through the Bible, through the filter of the Bible, leave it alone. He says, may sometime boggle. See? And that is the reason the two spirits in the last days come right along. The formal, you know, formal is being proper, you know. And we all had to say, amen, the same way. And we got hymn books and we all had to sing according, you know, Baptist, you know. So that is proper, ceremonial, you know. All those choirs, all those robes, same robes. Oh, what a boy, you know. All that being very ceremonial. And the other one, it says formal. The other one is fundamental. Oh, that's essential or important, you know, something that is, this is our, you know, fundamental. This is our where we draw the lines. So, you know, so you go to the other side. One side is too formal, and the other side say, well, you know, go by feelings. If you want to speak in tongues or somebody want to, you know, interpret tongues when the preacher is preaching, that's out of wacko. That's not in order. So see, that's the other side. That they believe, you know, you can do whatever you want to. But it's not so. So, always essential, always important that you speak in tongues if you want to have the Holy Ghost. See, that's the other side. But we want to stay in the middle. You know, what God says about these two things. Nothing against feelings. Now, if somebody's feeling, I'm a ball of feelings, let me tell you. I even feel you. You know, when I'm talking to you, I don't listen to your words. I feel you. You know, most foreigners do that. You know, some of you are different. America is all facts. Here's the facts, and this is the result. It's plain and white. Sign. It's all there. And then you say, well, I don't know. I went to buy a car myself the first time, but I went to buy a car one time. I don't like salmons, you know, Brother Doug Parker, but, you know, I just don't like them because the way they try to manipulate you. Not you, but some other ones. So I'm trying to buy a car, and I wasn't sure. So finally come to the point, sign here, or tell me what you want and how much, you know, you start going back and forth. sign. Just put what you want and sign. I said, no, I ain't signing anything. I've been in the army. I ain't signing nothing. Because I don't know what I'm signing for, you know. No. No volunteering and no signing. So I said, okay. You know, being a message believer, being a Christian, I said, I need to pray about it. And the guy said, what? You need to pray about what? I mean, he made me so mad. Well, anyway, I told my wife, she's sitting next to me. And I said, let's go. And she thought I was bluffing, you know, the guy. I said, let's go. So she didn't get up. So I got up and I started walking away. And I said, let's go. But she didn't know, you know, she's not aware of what, you know, what's going through my mind. So the guy got home. Oh, whatever. And I said, but call your manager and let me talk to your manager. Super, but whatever. Top of you. So he went and got somebody. Because I told him, I ain't signing nothing. And blah. So he got the guy, and the guy says, okay, so what's the problem? Well, I'm not going to pay but this much for this car, because I already looked at the blue book and everything. A car that's worth $7,000, he wanted $12,000. It was inflated. You know, inflation? Inflated. So I told him, I'm not giving you, and I told the manager, I'm not giving, you know, $7,000 is more, it's all I can do. He says, do you have a trade-in? No. I was doing this deal without trading, but I got a trade-in there. You can have it. It's only good for target practice when you get it to the junkyard. Okay, let me see it. So he went out there and saw the car, come back, said, yeah, target practice. I said, well, that's all I got, yes or no? He said, yes, sign here, have it. I mean, that guy was light-skinned, and he started turning red and blue. I mean, he was so upset. Until he had to go outside and smoke a cigarette. When I said, well, you know, that's me, you know. That's me. I had learned to life, you know, certain things. Because before I bought the car, I went to the lot and he says, do you want to try a car? Yeah, go to lunch, take your wife, your honey for lunch, and then come back and we can talk. So I did. But what I did, I went to the bank and asked him how much you give me for this car. They came and looked at it and said, well, this is only yours alone. So I already had an idea, you know, what the bank will do for me. And then I go over here and the guy won $12,000 when it's only worth seven something. So that's where the struggle started, see? He wanted to make some money, and I ain't got no money. So I only got enough to the car. So anyway, the story ended. Well, I took the car. I took it for my price. And the guy has a cow after that, because he was upset. I walked out that place and he was in the wall there smoking and he was upset. Anyway, so fundamental importance, you know. So we're talking about balance, and then we're talking about fundamental and essentials and things like that. Let me continue because if not, we don't finish. So those are the two type of balance. Now, a balance is also could be, you know, we are walking in the middle of the road, you know, in this church. And that is where the power of God is at, you know, in the middle of the road. Now, when we contemplate in balance, this is the things that we look at flowers. It says, longer flowers are shaped, attack the eye more than the small ones. So, you know, we don't want flowers that like to puff up themselves, because your focal point when people walk through those doors is that, because somebody's trying to attract attention. See? And we are different made, and we are different ways. Flowers, they got color and they got brightness. Some are not that bright. Some are not that pretty of a color. But some attract something, the eye, more than other ones. But a church that should not be big I or small you, we should all be the same way. We should not bring attention to ourselves. Okay? When somebody walks through those doors and see the church, which way will be the focal point? Well, you find out those that like to make themselves, you know, want more attention. And there's many ways to get attention, you know. So people complain and they want attention. You know, oh, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. And, what do you want me to do? And I learned, you know, that don't work in my house when I was growing up, you know. Mm-mm. So, and then warm colors are brighter colors attract more to the cool, and the dull colors not. Round shapes draw to the eye more than lines of the shape. So what I'm trying to say is, when you come to church, do not attract attention to yourself, because that is puffing yourself up. That is trying to be something that you know are, because we're all the same. I don't care what race you are, I don't care what color you are, we all need each other, see? Okay, and I'm almost there. I forgot my watch, and there's no working, so when I'm done, I'm done. It's supposed to be an hour, huh? So, the next one, and the last one, is love. That's, now, do you hear this saying that if you love to work, you will never work a day in your life? You have passion, huh? So how many of you feel that way, church? Do you love, we sing a song, you know, I love you, Jesus, and we sing a lot of love songs, right? Well, if you love the Lord, then there's not sweat, there's not a day that you work. In fact, if you enjoy in church, there's no time for anything else. Brother Brown says here, let me read this one about balance. My brother, sister, tonight, if you are hanging like he was then, you know, he's talking about hanging in the cross on the balance, but here is on the balance of condemnation, and knowing if you die tonight is lukewarm church member or lukewarm Pentecostal or whatever you might be, you know where you are going. Look to him tonight, to the one who can set you free. One tonight, you are just only a member only. So if that's all we have, if we're not converted, if we don't have the salvation, if we are not giving God our lives, we're just members. Members only. And don't know what the resurrection of Christ means to live in a human heart, look to him. He is God, and he alone. You will find pardoning like the poor, thick, sin-sick, thief did, hanging on the cross. That's where he started. You hanging there, like he was hanging in the cross. But in the last minute, we know what happened to one of the one that were in the cross. So I wanted to read that one just in case anybody will need that one. But going to love again quickly. You know, God is love, right? That's what the Bible said, John 3:16. And you know what the evidence of love is? I mean, we talk about the evidence of the Holy Ghost. You know what the evidence of love is? Anybody? Forgiveness. Didn't he die for you, love you, to forgive you? So what are you supposed to do if you love somebody else? The evidence that you love somebody is that you forgive them. But it's so hard, I don't know how can I forgive what he did to me. Then you don't love. The evidence that you love your brother and your sister is that if he do anything to you, offend you, whatever, I don't care what it is, you will what? Forgive him. That is love. Jesus did the same. After all that he went through, he said, forgive him. Isn't that what he said? So what about you and me? If you love me and I make a mistake or I make an error or I rob you the wrong way or I offend you, you're supposed to what? Listen. Matthew says, if you come to the altar to offer you sacrifices, and there you know that your brother, not you, there you know that your brother, something coming to your mind, your brother has something against you, not you against your brother has something against you, leave what? The offering there, and go on what? And make restitution, and then come back. So if we don't make restitution, if we don't forgive, in vain we are worshiping God. Okay, kind of sober, I know. Let me continue. God is love. Now, with that, in that note, I want to read you this 1 John 4:7. I mean, he mentioned love 23 times, 21 times, actually. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. If you have God and you have the Holy Spirit, you need to love. You don't need to. You will love, period. And everyone that love is born of God and know God. He that love not know God, he that love not know not God, for God is love. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son, I already told you about that, to forgive us into the world, so we might what? Live through him. Here is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us first. So if God did love you, you remember that day? I remember that day. It's part of my experience when he came to me. See? I remember the second time lasted me almost a week, you know. First he filled me, and then I wanted, you know, I want to do it again, because I want, you know, humanly speaking, you know, being in heavenly places is something that this flesh don't understand, but I want to, you know, do it again. So I'm sure that he was, well, he did it. I mean, I didn't even know how I went to work. I couldn't even do my job because I was in cloud nine. And then people could have slapped me and spit on me and kicked me. I would have just kissed them and loved them and wouldn't move on. I mean, I learned what love is. But not because I know, because he loved me first. You know where you are going. I'm sorry. He says, he that love not know God. Okay. 10. Here is love, that we love, that not that we love God, but that he loved us first and sent his Son. 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. This is a commandment. This is not an option. Okay? Oh, why you guys are so sober? This is not hard. Let go and let God do whatever he needs to do. Stay out of the way. That's why we're able to control. But if you let God be in control, he will do this. This is hard things to do. I understand this message is hard. Yeah, if you're trying to leave it. Let God leave this message through you. Surrender to God. Yield to God, and he will leave what he said through you. Beloved, if God so loves us, we ought to also to love one another. And that's just there. What about love your enemy? That's just here. Let's go out there too. No man has seen God at any time. If you love one another, God dwells in us, and his love is perfected in us. So how do anybody know that God is love? The way you act. You go out there and somebody's going to come to your door and he's in a need, and you say, well, I will pray for you. But if you don't minister to the need because you love the person, maybe he's hungry, maybe he needs something. But say, okay, I'll pray for you. I'm going to put a request in the church to pray for you. That's not love. That's trying to get rid of the guy. But if you really, really love somebody, you want to meet their needs as much as you can, because you love people. Remember when we were in the world, children of wrath, and God still loved us, all I did, and he still loved me? If he would have given up on me, that would have been the end of it. But I'm glad he didn't give up on me. Hereby know that we dwell in him, and he is in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him. So we're talking about the Spirit of God. God is dwelling in us, so there must be love. God had to produce that, and he's not going to force it. You got to choose to do that. That's what you got to do. He do the rest. You choose the right way. He said, and we know and believe the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwells in love dwells in God, and God in him. Okay, that more plain, you know, nobody can sing. So I will know it if you love God. And if you love God, I will know. Why? It tells you, you love one another. Here is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in that day. See, we don't need to be afraid. We don't have fear in that day, in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is. God is love as he is. If a man says, I love God, and hated his brother, he is a liar. Now, for he that love not his brother, whom he has, he can see, how can he love God, who he cannot see? So the proof is in the pudding. The proof that you love God is that you love me. Brother Brandon says, marriage and divorce. And there, all three notes exactly the same. So I'm going to read you what happened with Brother Branham when a lady prophesied about him. And he was a French translator. You know, she was speaking in tongue. And he was a French translator. He was, I think, Laduc or something, Victor Laduc. He was there. And not only him, it was another lady. And they gave the interpretation. Okay. But I want to bring you this for a reason. Let me read it. This is not exactly the same French as his way, the way it reads. This is an original note taken from they're making a comment here, taken right off. This is Danny notes himself. He packed it in his pocket. Of course, I went in the Christian businessman and so forth. So just making a comment where this came from. He says, because how has chosen the narrow path. We talked about the narrow path, right? The hardest way. So I'm not trying to sell you an easy way. This is not a picnic. It's going to cost you. Cost you a free, but it's going to cost you everything you have. So it's the hardest way. I'm not lying to you. Thou hast walked in your own choosing. So I chose. He chose. You choose. God is not going to make you. Thou hast picked the correct and precise decision, and it is my way. The way of holiness. God's way. Because of this monumental decision, a huge portion of heaven will await thee. What a glorious decision thou hast made. This in itself is that which will give and make come to pass the tremendous victory in what? Well, you have a name to live. Love Divine Church. Let's leave it there. Paradox. God make us our color just like he does the flowers. He has white flowers. He has blue flowers. He has red flowers. Let them alone. Don't hide them. Leave them alone. Now, let's see what I have this for. Let them stay that way. See? They are of God's flowers. It is a bouquet. God makes man and man makes slaves. We don't need to be slaves. Amen. And the last one, he says, conclusion. That is a way we can do, harmonize. You know, in our different opinions, we will harmonize because we are, the taste has nothing to do with it. You know, whatever you like has nothing to do with it. The reason we harmonize is not because taste. It's because it's God's way. So, I remember, you know, when I was lost, you know, even though I was growing up like you guys, you know, yeah, I grew up just like, I did not drop from a coconut tree being this big, you know, I started just like you guys. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is, you know, you learn the law in the house, and they are your schoolmasters, mom and dad, see? And you have to obedience, and they might drag you to church, see? And maybe you come because they make you come or because they ask you to come, whatever, but they had to come a point that you come to church because you delight in the Lord. See? Not because you have to. But see, God is the one that had to change that. See? For me, it's a delight. It's a pleasure to come to the house of the Lord every time it's open. See? And the law, no longer, because now I have a loving Father, you know, grace and mercy. So I'm exchanging, you know, an old for a new one. So if we did changing an old for a new one, then where is the love? Where is the delight? You know, we are not slaves anymore. We are free. Before, we didn't have no choice. We do what the devil wanted us to do. But now we got a choice. See? Do we come to church, you know, with gladness, with pleasure? we love when we come to church. See? And we come to worship now. Before, you know, we come and we had to do what we had to do, but now, for me, it's a privilege. You see? It's an honor to come and give him glory and all that he deserves. And before praying, when you start, you know, praying, then maybe you pray for the things that you wanted. When you're in trouble, you pray for what you know, God to come and help you when you're in trouble. That's what we pray. But pray is more than that. That's when we don't know God. But now that we know God, praying is a privilege to intercede for one another, see? And that's what we want, to come to the church, to pray, to worship, to give him honor and glory. This is not about me. This is not about you. This is all about him. See? Sundays. How do we look at Sundays? I don't know how you look at Sunday. But the Bible said this is a feast unto the Lord. How many people like feast? Well, it's just a heavenly manna. It won't be a nice, you know, trigger pork chop or whatever. But we partake him of him. Sunday is not a burden no more. It's just a feast unto the Lord. And we don't do no more lip service. You know, before, you know, we had no choice. We do that. But once we God comes into our heart and changes us, now we have a mouth full of praises now, you know. And we have a heart full of joy. See, that's a change. It's a change. So, the oil for the new one. I like the new one. That's why I want my body changed, because I hate the old one. I don't even want to see that guy in any place. See, all things were old, but now all things are new. Amen. I was thinking about the pass and review that Brother Brown saw, the vision pass and review of the bride. And the bride, you know, you can stand, because I know I'm keeping you a little bit more. Stand, because I want to finish. If you don't stand, I don't finish. The bride of Jesus Christ, passing review, you know, in that day I was thinking, you know, every nation, bride or portion of every nation is going to go passing to that passing review. America is going to go, you know, Mexico, you know, they're all going to have the dress that they use for weddings, actually. They're going to be different dresses. America is all white, you know, dress. But you go to other places where, like India, they have different outfits for brides. I mean, other countries, it's not like Bolivia. I mean, they got different outfits. They don't have to be all white. And they won't be all white. And in that day, each nation going to have its own, you know, dressed, bride, whatever they use. So I was just thinking, you know, USA. What you say? The national flower of USA is what? A rose. You know, that's the national. I mean, every state has its own flower, but I'm talking about the national flower. And Mexico have the dahlia. You know, I don't know what that flower looks like, but I looked at it. And Spain, Brother Cabo, has the red carnation. So Canada has the maple leaf, and Europe has the Belgian red. Poppies, you know, every nation has a flower. China has the plum blossom, and other ones. I can continue, but all I'm trying to illustrate to you that day, you know, here comes the bride in review, and here comes the bride of America. You know, she's dressed in white, and she got all these roses. And as soon as it goes through the review, and Jesus Christ is there reviewing, because that's what the army do. You know, the general stands in the Tina and all the troops start going by. So, can you imagine in that day, you know, the victory and the happiness? You know, of course, I never seen a sad bride. Have you seen a sad bride? I don't want to get married or something. Yeah, they always smile. They always smile, even if things don't go right later on. But that moment is a moment. So, and she has a bouquet of flowers, right? And what did she do with that? She tossed it, right? But we are going to do the same thing. He comes to America with the white roses, red roses, and she's gonna toss it at Jesus Christ. And then Mexico will come and will toss those flowers. And then each one of those nations will go to that parade. Can you imagine that pulpit says, that's the altar of God, you know, full of flowers. You are the flowers, actually. You are the flower of God. You are the bouquet of God. And you are his bride, his loved one. You are the la niña de los ojos, we say in Spanish. I don't know how you say that in English. Okay, you guys are not that shy. I know, I've seen you outside. You are not that shy. What the la niña de los ojos? The apple, that's right. The apple of the eye. So, you know, and in that day, it's going to be so glorious. It's going to be such a, you know, parade. You know, of course, here will be, you know, the marriage. But over there, it's going to be the marriage lamp, the supper of the marriage lamp. But she was standing. He saw that vision. And what I've seen is a lot of flowers flying around. When you go to graduation, what is the thing you see at the end of the graduation? A bunch of hats flying. That's what they do. You know, they're happy. So you're going to toss your bouquet at him, at his feet that day. Ain't that glorious? I cannot wait for that day. I know that the Bible says we're going to toss our crowns. I'm going to toss my crown, but I'm going to toss my flower. That is you, actually. All that he has done for us, all that he's still doing. Don't you love God? Remember where you was at. Don't you love God where you are today? Who else will do that for you? Just him. All because he loves you. So we should be in a harmonious, you know, congregation. We should have a purpose in mind. You know, we should have one mind, one accord, one purpose in everything that we do. And we should be always, even though we have contrasts and we have differences, that has nothing to do. Prophecy has nothing to do with anything. But if you have the love of God in your heart, you must love one another. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you for your presence. Father, we love your presence. Father, even if I don't see you, even if I don't feel you, I know you're there. And I'm in awe, Father, to know that you will not fail us. You said you will be here and you are here. And we thank you, Father, because you are the one that lead us and guide us. You are the one that control us, Father. I don't want to have control of myself. I want you to do that for me, Father. I need to let go and let you, Father, finish the work that you started, Father. Father, we thank you, Father. We love you. I thank you for this bunch of flowers tonight, Father. You have made them that way, Father. Father, because you like the beauty of your bride. You love her so much, Father. Among all the daughters, she stole your heart, Father. Father, we thank you tonight for this family of God. And they may never be apart, Father. Not physically, but I'm talking in thoughts, in the word, Father, that they will be in one accord, in one mind, and that is the mind of Christ, Father. That's the bride that you're coming to get, Father. And tonight, Father, we thank you. We thank you for all you have done. Thank you for this church. Thank you for our pastor. We thank you for every person here and those that are not. We thank you, Father, because you have put us together. You put this bouquet of flowers together, this portion. You have done that. And you know exactly how to place and position things in your church, because this is your altar and you know how you want it. And Father, we thank you, Father, that you chosen us, that you call us, Father, you predestined us, Father. And we want to just surrender to you completely and asking you to have your way, Father. And we obey, Father. We love you and we thank you tonight. And we ask you these things in the precious and lovely name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Glad. by his blood.